Welcome to the Lose the Cape podcast, where we get real with busy moms and talk about how they survive their daily juggle. If you are a busy mom who believes in the idea of moms helping moms with tips, tools, and resources to survive, this is the podcast for you. Today, I would like to welcome my friend Yvonne Marcus. It's Marcus, right? I'm sorry. I just had a total brain fart. I was like, oh, crap. Okay. All right. Today, I'd like to welcome my friend Yvonne Marcus. She is a lifestyle blogger, a mother, and getting ready to launch a new exciting lifestyle coaching program. So we're going to talk to her all about that. Yvonne and I actually met through a through the Boss Mom Academy, Dana Malstef, who's been a guest before, her Boss Mom Academy. So welcome to the show, Yvonne.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm stumbling over my words a little bit. Before we started the podcast, Yvonne and I were just talking about how tired we both are. We both were up late last night unintentionally. So excuse us if we both sound like we might be drunk or something today.
Exactly.
Because I think we all realize as we have children that keep us awake all night long, the lack of sleep often feels like you're drunk.
Totally does. And it has a similar effect on things like driving and all that stuff. It's hilarious.
Exactly. All right. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself, your life, how many kids, all that jazz?
So basically I am a mother of one. He is 15 months old.
That's a fun yet dangerous age.
Yeah. He's getting really smart. He was pretty smart when he was born, but now he's figured to push things and climb up on them to get to what he wants to get. So we've reached this phase of him being completely just crazy all the time. Because, like, if you're not watching, he's off somewhere else. And he's, you know, starting to learn so many words, so it's pretty cool because he's starting to put two and two together as to what's what.
Yeah, communication gets better.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun because you get to realize, like, what he wants.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. That makes a big difference.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, well, go ahead.
And yeah, when I'm not with him and dealing with all of his craziness, I am working on the blog. Or the podcast. I run Two Moms, One Podcast with my friend and co-host, Raywan Sangari.
Cool.
And that comes out like every other week. So it's usually not too chaotic to get into my busy schedule, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, exactly.
And then on top of that, now I have the 5-day challenge on my website for helping busy moms to get out of the house on time. Which hopefully will help them to feel a little less chaotic. But if that doesn't, I do offer my full 5-week coaching program, which is set up to help them develop a way to prioritize their life, to have more time for themselves, their spouse, hobbies, just things they like to do. Yeah.
Oh, we talk a lot about that on our website, the importance of finding me time and trying to fit that into your schedule because, I mean, it really is important. It makes me sad when I hear moms talk about the fact that they never leave the house or they never do anything for themselves. And it's like, I don't know how you function.
Yeah, I moved cross country with a 4-month-old.
Oh, gosh.
To a town where I knew no one. So it's been interesting trying to build those relationships because I think that finding mom friends is worse than dating.
Do you?
Yeah.
You
know, people will always say that they compare it to dating, but I'm like, I think it's so much worse.
It's funny that you say that because I was actually having a conversation with myself in my head yesterday, which I do a lot on this topic. And I was thinking to myself about how So I guess maybe I was just really lucky. I fell into a really good group of moms that was started in the area of town that I live in. And we found they started a meetup, basically. Mm-hmm. And people just started inviting their friends and it grew from there. But I was thinking yesterday, and it was Infants and Toddlers is the name of the group. So basically, if you have an infant or toddler and other age kids, too, you could be part of the group. And I was thinking yesterday about the fact that I don't have any infants or toddlers anymore. So I haven't been going to their meetings. Now my kids are all in school and how I'm starting to fall out of, well, there's some of those girls that I became truly genuine friends with that I will stay friends with. But most of them, they've just kind of fallen off. And I was thinking to myself as I bring this full around to make a point that, there's different seasons in your life and different people fit into those seasons differently. And it's okay to let them go. I was feeling kind of sad about the fact that I'm not really friends with some of those people anymore. But then I was like, you know what? We did what we needed to for each other at the time that we needed each other.
Yeah, exactly. But it's so, I mean, it's one of the things that like I learned when I lived in LA, like a lot of times when you go to like the park, you meet a mom and you kind of mesh really well. And then you give them your phone number and then maybe you text once and one or the other of you doesn't text back.
Yeah. Ever. And then all the drama. Why didn't she text me back? We had such a great connection at the park.
Exactly. So I was like, but I think it's worse than dating because a lot of moms feel like you have to have the same sort of parenting philosophy.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that you do. I am pretty much like, if my kid's at your house, then he's going to obey your rules and do what you want him to do. Obviously, if it's something that like I just really don't want him to do, he's probably going to say that he doesn't want to do it. But it's, I feel that most parents are really looking towards keeping your kids safe, especially when they're at their house.
Yeah, I agree. I just realized I was over here nodding my head vigorously, but people on a podcast can't see that. So yes, totally agree. I have the same kind of philosophy. I hope that most mothers feel kind of the same way that they're going to keep your child safe. So
I'm like, if he eats a little extra sugar at your house, what do I care?
Exactly.
It's not my house.
Well, thankfully I don't have kids that have any kind of like allergies or anything major like that. So while I wouldn't pump them full of sugar and caffeine at my house, I'm not going to shame someone else for, because they do have it. It's not like they don't have it. What am I talking about? They have it, but
yeah,
whatever.
I'm kind of like, you know, it's fine. It was one day in their life.
Exactly. Exactly. So you blog and your blog is The Dahlia Scene, correct?
Yes, that is my blog.
So did that start before children or did it start as a mommy blog?
It did. It was really, it's kind of crazy how the whole thing started. I had an Etsy website. Well, not a website. I had an Etsy store. Etsy is the website, obviously. But it was essentially a crochet business where I just did dishcloths and mug hugs. Mm-hmm. But it's a really oversaturated market.
Really?
Especially on Etsy.
the things I learned.
Yeah. And on Etsy, a lot of people were charging like $2 for 4 dishcloths. And I was takes me, for 4 dishcloths, it probably takes me 8 hours. Mm-hmm. $2 is not enough.
No.
No. And I was using 100% cotton yarn. So that's expensive. So I was like, I don't know how these people are making any money. And why would somebody buy mine when they can just buy the $2 version? So that was supposedly made from the same material. So I said, you know, I got to get out of this. So, but the blog was originally supposed to support that business because at that point in time, I was in a group called Oh My Handmade Goodness. and they're were a really fabulous resource for people who run handmade businesses. And I still love all of those ladies and we still talk on a regular basis. But they were like, you know, you should start a blog because a blog will help feed people to the store and vice versa. So I said, okay, so I start this blog. And then I just was like, this market's not good for me. So I switched over to a lifestyle. Well, I wanted to do a DIY and food blog. So then I tried that for a little while, and I realized that my photos just, our house wasn't conducive to taking good, well-lit photos of food. So I was like, okay, this isn't going to work either. I was like, if I ever want to make money from this, these photos have to look good.
Yeah, true.
So then I moved into just a plain lifestyle blog, just describing things that we did around LA. And my most popular posts were restaurant reviews,
which
I still love doing, because who doesn't love food?
That's a good point.
So now I try and do my restaurant reviews from the going out with kids slant. But, and then we moved cross country to Asheville. So we kind of documented that move. And then now it's sort of funneling into a place that's just a mommy resource, because my most popular posts are like my labor playlist. Not everyone is happy about your pregnancy, which is about being cognizant of the fact that not everyone is able to get pregnant.
Oh yeah. That's a great topic.
And then my C-section posts, because a lot of women are really traumatized by their C-sections.
Yes, I was supposed to send you some information. I just remembered that.
It's okay.
Next time you do that, let me know.
Yeah, because it was like a thing for me, because I felt like my midwife had lied to me, because she told me that I would go to the hospital and they would induce. And the OBGYN was like, you won't get all the way. Like, you're at a zero. And if you're at a zero on the Bishop scale, they don't induce you, because you have to be at 4 or 5 to make it up far enough to actually deliver. And so I was like, oh my goodness. So I was so mad for like, I'm still mad. Like, I won't even lie, I'm still mad about it now.
You know, we could probably go into a whole rant about OBGYN stuff, delivering babies and all that, because I have some stories too. I mean, I see why that's a popular topic on your blog, because I'm angry too.
Yeah. And I just like being able to put that information out there for women, because especially like moms, because I feel like these days we don't build a community in the same way that we used to, because we live further and further away from our direct families.
Right.
And on top of that, like, people don't think about the fact that you actually have a community. Like, they don't communicate with preschool teachers and other mom friends, or we don't go out and meet our neighbors as frequently.
Well, you know, and I was thinking about this the other day, because we have the Lose the Cape blog, and then I have my own personal blog that I do a lot of, excuse me, I'm sorry. Okay. I do a lot of advocacy and talking about maternal health and child and infant health and all that stuff. And I was thinking about different posts that I could write that would be interesting on the topic. And one of the subjects is just like to the same tune of what you're talking about, that we don't prepare each other well. And like, I would have loved to have known that when I went in for my first ultrasound, they were going to stick a dildo in me with a camera, you know?
Exactly.
I was not prepared for that. I thought I was going to be having my tummy ultrasound, and I was like, what are you doing? That would have been nice to have been mentally prepared for. Then again, maybe it's better that I didn't know, because I probably would have been freaking out the whole time about what was going to happen. But
yeah, I wasn't prepared for postpartum, even though there's a bunch of bloggers out there talking about it now. There's a lot that they don't mention, because like, some of the symptoms stop pretty soon after you have the baby and then start again. And then it's like, oh my God, is this normal? And so like, I'm on the phone with the OB going, is this normal? And he goes, yeah, it's totally normal. I'm like, I didn't know.
I know. It's crazy. Well, I mean, that's another thing that I'm a little bit irritated with the OB community, is that I don't feel like they do a really great job of preparing you for stuff like that too. And I mean, I get it. They see a million patients every year. But when it's your first baby, you'd think they'd spend just a tiny bit more time kind of walking through some of those things with you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And or like, I have a lot of medical background. My mom was a nurse. So growing up, I lived with two nurses. So pretty much everything was just walk it off. You'll be fine.
That's exactly how my mom was. You're okay. No worries.
Yeah, it's like if you're the daughter of someone in the medical profession or the son, you never get to go to a doctor.
No, my mom's a nurse too, so I feel your pain.
They're like, you're fine. I like had 104 temperature in my mom's.
You're
son.
Okay.
Go to sleep.
take a cold shower. You'll be good. They're so unsympathetic.
Exactly. And that's the same way I am with my son. Like the other day he fell and he hit his lip. And you know how mouth things are.
They bleed a lot.
Yeah, and it's wet in there, so it just drips. And I was like, oh my God, everybody in the room was like freaking out. And I was like, he'll be fine. You gotta stop the bleeding to see how big this is.
Exactly right. Oh, that's funny. So then as you, I know what I wanted to ask you. Your labor playlist, what's that about?
So I have the top 50 songs I put on my labor playlist because I thought, I mean, we were going to be home for a good portion of my birth process. Mm-hmm. Because we were going to a midwifery and we would just go there when it was time to really be ready to push. So I was like, okay, I want a really long playlist because I don't know how long this is going to be. And I put some really funny songs on it, like Push It by Salt and Peppa, Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. Because it's like, if you want to get stuff done, that's the song.
That's been my song this week, actually.
So I was like, that's the song. Like, that has to go on the labor playlist. And of course, I put all these like really indie bands and like, you know, bands that are kind of hot right now. There was, Kesha, Your Love Is My Drug. And so I was going through this.
Not in labor, though. I need a stronger drug than that.
And so I was going through the whole thing. And of course, like, I put all this like cool music on there. And my son comes out to I Won't Give Up by Jason Mraz.
That's hilarious.
I love Jason Mraz. I have so many really great stories about that guy. But he's so now every time Jackson hears him singing, he's like, oh my goodness. I recognize that voice. So like, and he doesn't know why, like he recognizes that voice, but you can tell he has an association.
That's cool. But,
yeah. But the post is so popular because it's the number one Google search result.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine there's not a whole lot of people writing that type of post. I don't know.
Honestly, I think Pop Sugar has one. Time Magazine had listed because Spotify created their own. Because I think it's becoming more popular now. Like, ladies are doing it more. Whereas like when our parents, and even like my cousins were having children, like that wasn't something they thought to do.
No. And we didn't have music with us all the time. We didn't have Pandora and Spotify and iPods. Does anybody use iPods besides me anymore? Or is that totally, I still have an iPod.
I think those are kind of out, but I don't know. I actually don't download music.
No, I just live stream. I just stream music on my phone. Yep.
Yeah, so. I'm like, I just stream it. Or like if it's on Amazon Prime, we have the Alexa in our house. Every time I'm talking about you, she hears me. And so she starts trying to listen to what I want her to do.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, the same thing. I was on a call with Jacqueline on a conference thingy, and she said my name and her music turned on. It was pretty funny.
I love having that. And I did an interview with this like German guy about having the home automation through Amazon. And I absolutely love it. My son loves it. He learned to sing he learned to say Barbara Ann. Because he really likes that Beach Boys song.
Uh-huh.
Walk over and stand under it and say, Baba, Baba, Baba.
Oh, that's cute. That is so cute. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so let's get back on topic here. We're all over the place, but this is fun. I love it. So you are mother of one, and what you are working from home with your child at home with you, correct?
For now, yes. He will start preschool in August, 2 days a week for a half days.
Oh, that'll be fabulous.
I think so, but I'm kind of nervous about it. He's never gone somewhere and learned something that I couldn't just like look out the window and see him. He has a nanny 2 days a week now.
Yeah, okay.
But I can just like look outside and be like, oh.
Right, there he is. That's what I was going to ask you, how you get your work done with him at home all the time, because especially at that age, it's not like you can ever take your eyes off of them.
Yeah, it's mostly nap time, but I do have a nanny 8 hours a week, which is not enough time to get all the things you need to get done.
It's not.
that's a topic on my podcast coming out next week, is why being a work at home mother is kind of the worst.
It's really challenging. I was talking about this with Abby, our VA, because she's at home with 3-year-old twins.
And oh my goodness.
Yes. And they are at home all the time with her while she's working. And I was like, I don't understand how you accomplish anything. Because I'll tell you, when my, well, even so, my 4-year-old still makes it very challenging. I'm to a little bit better of a place with my 9-year-old and 6-year-old, but the 4-year-old still pretty demanding. But when my middle child was about 3 was when I really started picking up my blogging activities and writing and stuff like that. And she was not about letting me work. I have chapstick all over the walls where she found chapstick and drew all over the walls, and it doesn't come off. I haven't been able to get it off. Yeah. So yeah, things like that. Doesn't work.
Well, the thing about my son is he can play independently, but if I got rid of my laptop because I could never get any work done on the laptop, because every time I pull it out, he comes and tries to pull off the screen and all that stuff. And so now if I have to go in my office, he's like trying to get into my drawers and he's pulling things open and shut, and because he's not allowed in that room very often. And so it's always this curiosity.
Yeah.
So he takes a good nap though. Like until last month, he took a 3-hour nap every day.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Yeah. And now it's an hour and a half.
Oh, not so nice, but still better than nothing. Better.
It's exactly. Still pretty good. Most of my friends are like, my son takes like a 45-minute nap.
All of my children stopped napping when they were 2. I mean, just done.
Oh my goodness.
Nightmare. They don't like to sleep. None of them. It's awful. So what would you say the most difficult aspects of being a working mom are, besides the not being able to work when your child's awake?
Yeah, it's mostly trying to manage your time, but I try and do my to-do list the night before.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll have 17 things on it. But a lot of those to-dos are like read for 15 minutes.
Over to him.
Color in my adult coloring book.
Yes.
If those things don't go on the to-do list, they might not get done.
Yeah.
But basically, it's just a lot easier to manage, and you feel good about being able to check something off.
Yeah. So he's not in school yet. So the mornings probably aren't quite as crazy for you as maybe for moms who are trying to get their kids up and ready and out the door. But what time is the most challenging for you, and how do you make it easier?
Well, a lot of times it still is the morning because he doesn't, I have a lot of time, thank goodness, because this is the thing that he does now, is you go into his room and he's smiling and he's happy and you want to get him out of his crib so you can change his diaper and take him down to breakfast. He's running back and forth. And then he's going, bok, bok, because he wants a book in his crib. So you have to hand him like book after book after book. And then you're like, do you want a diaper change? No. Now, he says the sweetest no I have ever heard a kid say. He just goes, no. It's not. I mean, like, all my cousins, like, use that very defiant no.
No.
When they hit that sort of, like, terrible 2 phase that starts at, like, 15 months. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, man, I hate you. But no, not my son. He's just like, no, I don't feel like it right now. Thanks, though, Mom.
Appreciate the offer.
It takes like 20 minutes to get him out of his crib and get a diaper change and get him down for breakfast.
Wow. You are far more patient than I am.
Yeah. I mean, it's just because I have all the time in the world. If he had to go to school or if he had to be somewhere, like on the days that we have to go to music class,
yeah,
it's like, oh, you really have to get out of bed.
Now. So you mentioned adult coloring book and reading and things like that. So it sounds like you do a fairly decent job of making some time to keep yourself together. But do you have any particularly good resources that you like to share with busy moms that help you either manage your day or make sure that you're staying, I guess, balanced in your day?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest portion of things for me is that we have Netflix and we have Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So those things make it easy, especially Amazon Prime, because like I can order things from my Alexa home automation system that need to come to my house. I can play music for my son who's going crazy while I'm trying to make lunch. I can put on, you know, a little bit of Sesame Street from the HBO Now app and let him watch that for a little bit of time. But for the most part, my day is a lot of him playing independently, because he will. As long as I am in his eyesight, he has no problem. So I get about 15,000 steps a day just by walking up and down the hall while he plays with his toys. During nap time, I just go and sit in my office. Luckily for me, my husband also works from home. Mm-hmm. So when I have calls with like Dana or anybody else, he can take care of the baby while I deal with that call.
Yeah.
And then I can go back out and relieve him and get him back to his work day. His company's out of England, so for the most part of his day, they are not working.
Oh, wow. That must be strange. Does he have to get up at like 2 a.m?
No, he gets up and starts his day at 8 a.m.
Oh, okay.
But his and then they are still working at that point.
Okay.
But so about the time we go on our like 1 p.m. calls, he is finishing up. They're finishing up their work day or have just finished up.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's super sweet because he's able to be flexible.
Yeah, that's nice. This is totally unrelated to, well, it's kind of related to your husband's job. Why did you guys move from LA to Asheville? Was that because of his job?
No, we actually just wanted to have more space for the kid and to have more house for the money. Mm-hmm. And so we settled on 5 cities that we might enjoy living in. Portland, Oregon, Austin, Texas, Lexington, Kentucky, Asheville, North Carolina. And I can't remember what the 5th one was, but we went and traveled to all of them. And except Portland, we didn't make it to Portland. He knew it would be too cold for me. And so we came over to Asheville and it was just everything we wanted. He really likes, to deal with beer and home brewing and all those things. And Asheville is Beer City, USA.
Yeah.
We really love food and it has a huge amount of, chef-owned restaurants and a lot of variety. I think that we pretty much have every sort of ethnic food that you could want.
Oh, that's awesome.
For such a small town.
Yeah.
And it's very family-friendly. Like there's familyfriendlyasheville.com. Every day has the calendar and lists all the things you can do with your kids for the day.
That's so cool. You know, we are going to Jellystone Park this weekend.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. And we were looking at the website and all the stuff that there is to do in that general area last night. And my husband and I were both like, this is where we'd really like to move to, that whole Asheville, you know, Mountain North Carolina-ish area. So yeah,
it's good beautiful. To hear. We live a little on the north area, north of Asheville. So we live outside the city limits. We actually live in the county because like Weaverville is the city that's the closest to us, but we live outside of that city limits as well. We have a creek that runs through the front yard. And
see, that's my dream lifestyle. Oh my gosh, I love it.
A little under 2 acres.
Nice. Yeah, that's what I want.
You can come up to the apartment anytime you want.
Yay. We may be coming soon.
Yeah, our basement is a full kitchen and bedroom.
Oh, that's so cool. So cool. Anyway, we totally digress there. So if you could go back in time and give your pre-kid self one piece of advice, what would that be?
It would probably be not to stress out about not being able to get work done. Because in the first 3 months postpartum, I got nothing done.
Right.
There was no blogging happening. There was nothing because he didn't sleep. I mean, my child's always slept what they would consider through the night for his age. So as a baby, he was sleeping in 4-hour stretches. which was fabulous because mm-hmm. 4 hours at a time is a pretty good amount of sleep to be getting to get up and nurse for 20 minutes and then be able to go back to sleep for another 4 hours.
For the short term, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. For months and months on end, it's not so great.
Yeah. And you still feel really exhausted because yes. you're still recovering from, in my case, major abdominal surgery.
Right.
And so it's a whole process and you try and push yourself harder than you should. And then I was crying hysterically because I was like, the blog's not getting anything done and people are going to stop reading and I don't know. What am I going to do? You have to be consistent. And the photos have to be good. And my husband was like, chill out. But of course, that period of time, you cry over everything anyway.
Exactly. It's just going to be crying.
Yeah, I still cry all the time.
So what is your favorite thing to do for me time?
I like a hot bath with my book. So I take my Kindle. We have a soaking tub. Mm-hmm. So I run the nice warm bath, light a candle, get in, read my book, just chill out.
That sounds fabulous. It's only 11:30 in the morning and I just want to go do that right now.
Yeah. I mean, and my husband is great because a lot of times he'll do bedtime so that I can.
That's nice.
Or we'll skip watching TV together that night so mm-hmm. I can. Mm-hmm. But we try and watch at least an hour of television together a night just to sort of wind down.
Yeah. Yeah, plus we do the same. What's your favorite show to watch together?
Daredevil right now.
Daredevil.
But we just finished it.
We're into Game of Thrones.
Oh, my husband's into that. I have not watched it.
Oh my gosh.
I've read the books.
I haven't read the books. I have not read the books, but the series was good. I wasn't sure if I'd be into it or not. And then I went to go visit my best friend and she and her boyfriend were really into it. And I like binge watched like 20 episodes and I was so addicted.
Yeah, I think that's what would happen. It's like, if I got into it, like I would be just really into it. And I'm like, he's already seen it all and it's still going. Yeah. So I think maybe once it's over, I'll go back and watch it then. I'm still trying to get through the last season of How I Met Your Mother. So,
oh my gosh, I haven't gone back and watched that yet. I want to pick that one up, but I stopped watching it for a while because I felt like it kind of stopped being funny anymore. And but then it's like one of those things where they say the season's ending and you're like, oh gosh, I got to watch it again.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. Like when the series is coming to an end, you're like, oh my God, like The Good Wife. The Good Wife was my favorite show for a while. And I really wanted to watch it. And then I missed a season. Mm. And I was like, oh, now I just don't. I missed that season. If I don't catch up with it before the next season comes on, I'm just going to be done with that until it's over.
Yeah, right.
And then it just ended. But the worst thing was somebody spoiled me about something that happened several seasons ago, I think.
Oh, no.
But I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, I didn't know that happened. And then now they were talking about the series finale. And I was like, I don't know. So now I have to go watch it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this has been a lot of fun, Yvonne. And I know you are on vacation. So as much as I would love to chat with you all day long, we'll let you get to vacationing. But before you go, please let everybody know where they can find your wonderful blog and the playlist that I'm sure everyone's going to want that's having babies soon.
Yeah, it's thedahliascene.com. And if you want to find the labor playlist, you can just /labor playlist.
Awesome.
Labor-playlist. But and that one is, like I said, a really fun, I mean, even if you weren't in labor, it's a pretty fun playlist.
Well, that's cool. Well, we'll link to your blog and to your podcast and all that jazz in our notes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.